The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Clare Island Cassettes.
Here on Fresh FM. Our guest is about to be cast away
to Clare Island.
As they hurry to pack a suitcase, they may choose five pieces of music. Five pieces that in some way soundtrack their lives. Music that may shed light on who they are, where they've been and what they've come through. Let's hear their story and their music.
All aboard!
I'm joined today by Tony on Clare Island Cassettes for the next episode. We're going to cast him away to Clare Island. But before that, we're going to have a chat about some tracks that he's decided to bring with him. Maybe some songs that have soundtracked the last, how many years, Tony?
Oh, the whole life, Kieran, all the way back to birth.
Very good. You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us. You're in Athlone today. And we're doing this over the internet.
I'm in Athlone, right in the heart of Ireland.
Dead centre.
The dead centre, yeah. I'm from Donegal originally, up in the northwest of the country, but delighted to be on chatting to you this evening, whenever you're listening.
Well, it's 8 o'clock in the morning here, and actually I passed your home place back in September. I was up doing a road trip up that side. I passed the Turnaff for Inch. I have fond memories of going up there back in the day.
Beautiful part of the country.
That's right.
Lovely spot.
Was there an Irish wolfhound knocking around that time?
We had five Irish wolfhounds at one point, believe it or not.
Jesus.
Huge dogs. But unfortunately, they have a very short lifespan. They only live to about 6 or 7 years old. So
Okay.
They not around anymore, unfortunately. Huge appetites as well.
Okay. Very good. Right. Well, you're used to living on an island, so I mean, this should be isolation, this indefinite isolation on Clare Island should be a stroll in the park for you.
Oh, absolutely no problem at all. I enjoy the solitude. So looking forward to being cast away.
Good. And have you? You've been chewing on a few tracks and bits and pieces as the
as the weeks has been going on.
I'll also stick a book in there if you want to have a think of a book, and also as the show goes on, I don't need an answer now, but we'll try and get an answer for a luxury item of no practical use. So have a think about that too while the tracks are playing. But we won't hit you with an ultimatum just yet. We'll get into the first track, and we'll see how we go after that. So what's your first choice?
Brilliant. Well, thanks a million for the invite on, and I've a really eclectic mix of music.
Good.
Chosen today, so it'll give a lot of variety. The first one is a track by Pavarotti, one of his all-time greats and most famous pieces, and it's Nessun Dorma.
Ah, very good.
Which, of course, was a very famous piece recorded in 1990 for... popularized in 1990 during Italia 90 for the World Cup. So
yes.
That's my first choice. I'm not sure what your plan is now. For do you want to play it and then have a chat, or have
I'll stick it on now, and we'll come back. We'll get it going.
Fantastic.
I'm getting it's almost like they know. I'm getting messages here from Tomás Cooley. It's where he knows. Anyway, we'll get this on. This is Tony's first track on Clare Island Cassettes. This is Nessun Dorma by Pavarotti.
Stanza, guardi le stelle che tre.
Strong start there from Tony, who's joined me on Clear Island Cassettes today. That's Nessun Dorma, Pavarotti's version synonymous with the World Cup in Italy in 1990. Have you ever sang that song in the shower, Tony?
Oh, every day. Every day. Can't quite hit the Vincero part at the end. But yeah, that's the part, you know, where the shampoo is just coming off the head, you know.
Strong start. Tell me why. Tell me why you picked it. Why is it going in the suitcase?
Well, I'm mad into football, and I just have great memories of that summer back in 1990 and a really strong association with that song.
Right.
And of course that was the World Cup where Ireland our first appearance at it, obviously, and getting through into the second round and getting past Romania on the penalties and on into the quarterfinal and playing against Italy, of course. But that was, if I recall correctly, the anthem for that World Cup, and just a very strong association of hearing it at the time. I was only 7 years old. It was my first memory of watching football, you know, great excitement that summer, phenomenal weather. And I mean, he's a phenomenally good singer, but a you know, monstrously big personality as well, who did a huge amount of humanitarian and charity work over the decades too, which was very admirable. And that was one choice, that song. But I mean, I easily could have chosen one of the performances he did with his friends as well. You know, he sang songs like "O Solo Mio" with Bryan Adams, for example, and you know, just a huge amount of work that he did for UNICEF and for landmines and so on. I always admired him. Thought he was a great fella.
Yeah, yeah. He looked like he'd be good crack.
Yeah. I think so, yeah. And you know, another thing about that song too is, and it always makes me think about, I'm sure you know when Morgan Freeman is listening to the two Italian women in Shawshank Redemption, and he's searching, right. I have no idea to this day what those two Italian ladies were singing about. And I'm thinking the same. I have no idea what he's singing about there, and I don't even really want to know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I just have that association from the tone and the weather and the football and everything. That was just great years. It's worth saying as well, there's a super TV show on in Ireland, called Reeling in the Years, which has this look back at the history and culture and sport of each individual year, and they have a lovely synchronization of that that song against the football, with the penalty save happening against the Vincero line at the end of the song, before it kicks into, I think it's the Laz, and There She Goes comes on after. And it's just it really, you know when music matches film or matches a scene on a TV show really, really, really well. That's what does it for me there. So I'd have that one on the island, and it would keep me thinking about, you know, good times from childhood and sport and football and all that. So yeah.
So was music in the house when you were growing up, along with the soccer and the football and all the other sports?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Quite a few of my family can play different instruments and so on. And my brother wasn't born at the time, but he was born actually that year. He was only a few months old, but he was probably crying, singing in his own way back then. But he's a professional musician now, and actually sending me messages on WhatsApp here at the moment. He's in Los Angeles at a music conference, an exhibition there at the moment. So yeah, music's always been a big part of the household. And I used to play in a band and learn guitar and bass, and played in a few different rock bands in about 20 years ago, which I'll chat about later on as well. It was music was always important, but I suppose part of the theme of what I'd chat about today as well is how music matches your memory of a time in your life as well. And I think that's really important, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's always been the beauty of this format, that you know, the way it soundtracks, even listening to the old BBC archives of this show in its other guise, is it's great. It's a great way to play some music and hear some stories and some memories and see the links, especially like you said, the perfect example of Italia 90 and just the whole country. Even though, like, no more than you, I was only young, you know, it was a special time. I can still remember it. You know, going into school and watching the matches in the evening, and it seemed, I believe it was sunny across the whole country that summer. I could be wrong, but it felt like it was.
It was, and I mean, it seems daft even now looking back that, you know, there was a World Cup played in in June with some of the games in southern Italy, you know, where if you did that today, the temperatures would be touching on north of 40 degrees. And But it was, I suppose they kept themselves well hydrated, that team as well, didn't they?
They would have had some stalwarts when it would have come to hydration, all right, yeah.
Good times.
Definitely, yeah, brilliant.
Good times.
They got to meet the Pope.
They did.
That's just, reeling in the years is brilliant for that when they go back through, especially I suppose the years of the soccer tournaments where you get to see that footage, and when they're paired up like that with a piece of music like that, it's a fair concoction. Like,
and he was an ex goalkeeper as well, wasn't he? The Pope.
Oh, right.
Pope. Okay. I think he had played soccer in his youth as well.
Okay.
I'm not sure about the two or three that have followed him, if they're footballers as well. I doubt the current American lad is.
Well, that's track number one in the suitcase. Strong start, like I said. Where are we going to next?
We're switching direction. We're switching continent. We're switching genre.
Good.
We're switching era.
Good.
But a relatively similar time in my life, only probably a year or two older. And I first encountered the song Civil War by Guns N' Roses. It's from 1991, if I recall correctly.
Okay.
It's a super piece of heavy rock, very melodic, lots of different things going on in the song. And if you give it an old twirl there, we'll have a good chat about it then.
Yeah, 1991, the first track on an album called Use Your Illusion 2. So this is 22nd choice on Clare Island Cassettes. Let's crack into it. Let's just start a civil war. How about that?
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. I don't like it.
Young men fighting, look at your women crying, look at your young men dying, the way they've always done before. Look at the hate we're breeding, look at the fear we're feeding, look at the lives we're leading, the way we've always done before.
Restore in that bread. I don't need your civil war.
spilling. Look at the world we're killing, the way we've always done before. Look in the dark we followed, look at the leaders we followed, look at the lies we've swallowed, and I don't wanna hear no more.
Civil about war anyway.
The unmistakable voice of William Bruce Rose Jr. That was Tony's second choice, Guns N' Roses. Classic rock, classic from the '90s.
Yeah, Civil War is a phenomenal tune, and imagine it's 35 years old now. But as far as I understand it, that was the first time a band had released two albums together. So that was on Use Your Illusion 2, and Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 were, I think, was the first time that a band had albums at number one and number two in the charts.
Okay.
And of course, the charts mattered massively back then, in a way that they don't anymore, obviously. But I think at a very simple kind of primal level, what a great song to be listening to on an unpopulated island. You could just turn that up full and blare it out.
You'd already be psyched up with the Nessun Dorma Italian 90 wearing your half and half Irish Italy jersey running around the island. So this would just, this would ramp it up.
You would. And you could have it, if you were kind of bored or lonely on the unpopulated island, you could have a civil war with yourself, maybe.
Yeah. It's been known to happen. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Good choice. Yeah.
No, they're they're such a powerhouse of a band, and I mean I've great memories of kind of getting into them when I was in primary school. I was listening to a piece on the radio the other day there where they were talking about dodgy boxes and TV and piracy and so on, and I was thinking, but sure, there's nothing new there. About 30 years ago, I either downloaded that from the radio by recording it onto a tape, yeah, or else I borrowed somebody else's tape and recorded from one to the other. But I always remember that album in particular. There was a real aspiration to own that one because it had the very coveted parental advisory explicit lyrics sticker on the cover.
Ah, right.
Which meant there was a bit of bad language in it, and if you were a 9 or 10 year old boy, that was, you know, that was a prized possession.
There was status. There was status with that, like.
Oh, massive status.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah. The analog piracy.
But I was lucky. The analog piracy. Then, yeah. Probably somebody's doing the same now with your podcast here. You know, recording it.
I really hope so.
But no, I was lucky enough to get to go and see them a couple of times over the last few years as well. We got to go and see them in Budapest in Hungary there back in 2023. And then in summer last year, we went to see them in Warsaw. And they've still got it. You know, it's as close to the original lineup really as they can get still. You've got Duff and Flash and Axl all back together, and it's the greatest hit set really that they're doing. But they blare that one out, and they have backdrops of the different conflicts that are going on around the world at the moment, you know, particularly okay, relevant to Ukraine and Palestine and so on. And it's a song that's not really lost its relevance. I don't think there's a mention of any specific war in that one, but it's obviously a protest song, and nearly 8 minutes long. It's very unusual for a protest song to be that long. You know, most of the kind of famous protest songs by people like Bob Dylan or Edwin Starr, whoever, you know, short 2 or 3 minute things, they're almost kind of, you know, a bit of advertising, get your message out quickly. Yes. But that one's long and melodic and a slow burner. And I don't think it probably would have got much radio play back in the day because it wouldn't have been great for the ad cycles and that, but a superb piece of music, really.
Well, yeah, you're right. I was watching the lyrics. Well, I was reading the lyrics as I was running through Spotify here, and like you said, it's a song that could have been played obviously in the 90s, and it can be played indefinitely. And its length probably now becomes a strength. You know, it's I suppose like the Hurricane. I was only listening to the Hurricane yesterday, and I listened to it a few times, and it's been a while since I'd listened to it. And like that being up around the 8 minutes as well, like. You know, and I know it's a bit more specific with details and that, but at least he decided the protest song was going to be the protest song regardless of the commercial interests of having a 3 minute radio play. You know, it's good to see it. It's an act of protest in itself, I suppose, to make it 8 minutes long, isn't it?
Of course, yeah. And even the length of albums really mattered back then as well, because you had your 74 minutes or whatever it was that you could squeeze onto a CD.
Yes.
And you couldn't just run on indefinitely with longer tracks for the sake of it.
And like you said, they lived and died by the charts. You know, the charts was everything, like.
They did.
Buying your tapes.
You're mentioning the Hurricane there as well, you know, another one that's knocking up around 8 minutes or whatever. I was tempted to put one of my songs here as Ardo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a super anti-war song as well from the 60s, but that one runs to 19 minutes long, and I thought you'd probably only let me get away with picking one or two songs if I did
No, well, I mean, like we said, the beauty of community radio is time ceases to exist, and I think I have the luxury... I mean, with the other show, like I was saying, I try and keep it to the 2 hours, but with Clear Island Cassettes, I've been afforded the luxury that it's they backfill it up. They don't mind. No one cares how long or short it is. So, I mean, go for your life, Tony. I mean, it's going to be you that's stuck on this island indefinitely on your own. So you want to have the music you want to have, you know? Fill your boots. Fill your boots, as they say.
Alice's Restaurant is a phenomenal song, but it's there's not a whole lot of singing in it. He plays the same guitar riff over and over, and it's a very catchy riff. But I'd imagine after hearing it a couple of times on the island now, you'd be a bit fried.
Well, it depends, but, I suppose. Maybe
another interesting...
Go on, sorry.
Another interesting thing just about Civil War that's probably worth saying. I was just watching telly the other night, and it was reminding me that that the opening lyrics for that are from Cool Hand Luke, the great prison escape film from the 60s, and that's the prison governor doing his kind of authoritarian speech to Luke after he's put him in chains and pushes him down the hill, you know.
Right. Yeah.
That's a film I haven't seen in a long, long time. Yeah, and I'm always reminded of the hard boiled egg scene. Anytime I'm peeling hard boiled eggs, I'm always reminded of that scene. Yeah, a great movie actually. I must go back and watch that.
Yeah, 50 eggs. I think you get through.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Good choice. No, that's a good choice. Yeah, good choice. That'll be a good one to have in the suitcase, whether it's on a copy tape or on an original vinyl with the sticker. Who knows? But at least you'll have it.
Yeah, so I'll be calm and serene and noble after Nessundorma, and then I'll be fired up after Civil War.
And what are you going to follow that with then? So just to, what way are you going? Are you going?
Well, it's a bit of a roller coaster.
Good.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster of emotions. And again, I'm coming back to the other side of the Atlantic again, this time to Ireland, and it's a Rory Gallagher song.
Oh, great.
And it's going to my hometown, which is a super piece It shows his versatility, playing a bit of mandolin and so on in it.
Brilliant. We're big. When I say we, there is no we, but I mean we're big, very big fans of Rory Gallagher across all the different shows produced by TOTM. Not that there's many, there's only two, but I'm trying to big it up, you know. I'm trying to make it sound like there's things going on here. But no, we're huge fans, love playing Rory Gallagher. Actually have a
fantastic.
Hoping to do a Rory Gallagher show in a couple of shows time. That's my plan, but I mean he's one of those artists that there is so much to cover. There's such a wide spread of music, there's such a great life story and journey and legacy, and it's something I'm hesitant to rush into, because it is Rory Gallagher after all, and he's probably one of the greatest we've ever produced, and you'd like to put a show together that's, you know, respectful of that. And I think he's one of the greatest. Mm-hmm. So I'm absolutely delighted to stick this on, and I'm more comforted, even though I'm slightly sad about your loneliness that you may experience, and maybe that's fine, maybe you're happy with that, but at least I know you'll have Rory Gallagher with you. So let's get going to my hometown.
Good.
On this is Tony's third choice on Clare Island Cassettes, so let's hear from Rory.
In the kitchen, baking up a pie. Daddy's in the backyard. Get a job, son, you know you ought to try. So pack up a bag of hair down the road. I got me a job from Henry Ford. But I made a mistake, I moved much too far. And now I know what the lonesome blues are. I'm getting lonesome, I'm getting blue. I need someone to talk to. I'm getting lonesome, I'm getting blue. Now let me tell you where I'm going to. Yeah. Woo! To my hometown. Sorry, baby, but I can't take it all.
deliciously juicy bass there. Do you still play a bit?
Not the guitar so much anymore. I take it out the odd time and see can I still do something, but I probably lose a little bit every year on it. I should probably get back into it a bit more.
Okay.
I've been trying to learn the saxophone recently though.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Yeah. A tricky one.
Right.
A tricky one.
And is that completely new to you now? Like, are you coming in cold to something like the saxophone?
Completely new. And it's very different, obviously, to guitar or piano, even from a learning perspective, because you don't have a lot of peers knocking around who can play it, you know?
Okay.
So you can't really ask people for advice. And there's not a whole pile of saxophone teachers knocking around the phone that I'm aware of either.
And what sparked that?
The novelty. I love the sound of it. It's in quite a few tracks that I like as well.
And okay.
I thought, why not try something different?
Good thing for the island.
I don't know. Good thing for the island. Possibly could be the luxury item. We'll see.
Does it feature on any of the tracks? Or what track would spring to mind? Even if it doesn't matter. But
not. But I mean, I love it in say Pink Floyd, Money.
Okay.
I love the saxophone in that, and of course everybody loves, you know, Baker Street and the opening riff of that. And,
yes.
But I mean, it's in so much Motown stuff and all that. It's a great instrument, you know. Features a lot in the Commitment soundtrack.
Yes.
But whether I'll get to that level or not now is highly, highly doubtable.
Well, anyway, we should probably just take a swing back to the Bowl Rory Gallagher. He's a man from your part of the country. They celebrate his music every year up there. And
they do.
Would he have been an influence? Would he have been on the radar when you were growing up there? Was he, you know, that he's that local link, I suppose.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm from the north of the county in Bunkrana area.
Yeah.
And Gallagher, of course, was born in Ballyshannon, but moved at a young age to Cork. Great bit of trivia about him is the name of the hospital he was born in was the Rock Hospital in Ballyshannon.
That's right.
Very, very appropriately named for him. But they have the annual festival every year. His statue is very, very iconic. It's an absolutely beautiful bronze statue in Ballyshannon at a kind of a fork in the road.
That's
in the
right.
Middle of the town.
We stopped there this year,
really,
yeah.
Captures his presence, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
But yeah, he's definitely one of Ireland's greatest ever musicians,
yeah.
And one of the world's greatest ever guitarists,
yeah.
But his versatility in playing different instruments as well, you know, whether it was his singing or whether it was, you know, pulling out the mandolin as well, it's just super. But from what I know of this song, is he wrote it because of homesickness. Probably no great secret about that, you know, based on the title of the song and the lyrics, talking about, you know, going back to the home place where I presume in his mind Maureen would have the fry on and, you know, everything will be right in the world.
But
he's a musician that's always been very special to me. And when I lived in Galway, but was travelling back up and down to Donegal at the weekend, I would always have driven through Ballyshannon.
Yes.
And I had a kind of love-hate relationship with the town because it was a bit of a bottleneck for traffic for many years until they built the bypass. But I have gone to the annual festival, the tribute festival.
Oh, yes.
There every year.
Yes.
For him. I've gone to maybe six or eight times. You know,
okay.
And it's just super.
Nice.
You've got thousands of people there every year, a real communal feel, and you get people coming from a lot of mainland Europe coming across. You know, there's a lot of Dutch and Swedish and French and German lads, and they come on motorbikes and camper vans and so on, and they bring their guitars and their cans of beer, and it's just a lovely kind of community feeling. A lot of the music's outside on the street celebrating his life. Lots of it's acoustic, lots of big full noisy electric bands as well. A lot of young lads, you know, even in their teens playing, but equally right up to lads in their 70s, 80s, even, you know, that have been sort of admiring him for decades, and have even got Rory Gallagher tribute bands going around Europe and in kind of odd places, you know. and they all meet up for this festival, and it's one of the great festivals in the country. Really super experience, you know.
He's somewhat of a superstar when it comes to live entertainment, renowned the world over for his live performances. So you can see there was definitely an impact of that when there's so many little homages to him and tribute bands to him all over the place. Because he toured endlessly across Europe and even America, I suppose, in the time. But he definitely left his mark. Like
he did, and he was quite novel as well in that he played in Northern Ireland in the 70s throughout the Troubles there.
That's right.
And he was one of the few musicians kind of crossing the border and doing tours. But he played in all sorts of venues, from, you know, large multi-seater venues that would hold tens of thousands of people headbanging and rocking right up on top of the stage, to him, to much more intimate places like community halls and TV shows and radio shows in the States and so on. He had that real skill, but he was a very introvert man as well. I don't think he was particularly, he never comes across very comfortable being interviewed on any of the footage that you can find online.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
he seems like he wants his music to do the talking, yes, and doesn't want to be sort of bothered with endless questions, you know.
Yeah.
But I one of your shows there, actually, I was listening back to for a couple of days ago there. One of your guests, if I remember right, had a song from Tony Joe White on as well, a great blues musician. And Gallagher had another cover of Tony Joe White's music as well, which is another super song called As the Crow Flies.
Oh, yeah. It's
an acoustic blues song about, I suppose, as the crow flies, he's not far away from his love, but feels endlessly far away because he can't get to her for whatever reason in the song. But Gallagher's performance of that is just masterful as well, again showing his versatility, switching from acoustic to electric, you know.
Yeah, an incredible talent. And like that, I mean, it was all it appears anyway that it was just all about playing guitar for him, you know. He had very few worldly possessions, and it was just about playing music.
No, and actually they put some of the possessions on display sometimes in Ballyshannon, you know, and they're very humble items, you know.
Yes.
He wasn't glam rock guys of Guns N' Roses, you know. Yeah. I doubt he had a stylist a wardrobe or lads doing makeup or anything like that before he went on stage. The way Guns N' Roses or The Darkness or someone might, you know, he was straight out there.
A suitcase and a face cloth, that's about a Kieran Hickey style. That'd be it.
Yeah, the toothbrush in a plastic bag, yeah.
Very good. Good choice, yeah. Great to play some Rory Geller. Always enjoy that. And of course you have the link with the same address. I'm envious that you've been to that festival. It's something I'd really like to go to. Like you said, it really gives off that vibe of the music is spilling onto the streets, there's people everywhere. It just hums along there it's exactly what he was. I mean, he was purely the muso, like, you know. So it's just all about that bit of crack and play music. It's cool to hear it.
Yeah, no, it's a very small town, Ballyshannon, you know. It's only got 27 pubs in it, so it's a small spot, but
that's a village.
Put up this big tent in it, and you know, it's about vibe and atmosphere and community, and there's one of the fields nearby is turned into a campsite for the weekend, and there's lads that'll show up on the Thursday and they'll still be there on the Monday or maybe even further into the week. That's, you know, great little boost for a very, very rural, regional, small town.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the population of Ballyshannon is, but I could imagine it's only a couple of thousand people.
Yeah.
But they've capitalised on what they have, and it attaches on well to other interests they have in the town, and folk music and blues and so on. And
yeah.
It's great. I'd really recommend any listeners, you know, if you ever have a chance to go to Ballyshannon on that bank holiday weekend at the start of June.
Yeah.
It's super.
It's a busy time. Isn't the Donegal Rally on that weekend as well, is it? Is that the first weekend of June? It's a big weekend in Donegal.
I think it's...
Or is that further on in June?
I think it is around then, yeah.
It's a big weekend. It's a big weekend in Donegal.
Yeah.
Good county to be in that time of year.
Yeah. Well, I think the Donegal Rally happens every weekend in most of Donegal.
yeah.
That's probably another discussion.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Very good. Yeah. Right, let's see what else we're going to fire into that suitcase. where are we going to next, Tony? What's what are we soundtracking? What right. what stage or what part of the journey?
We're back to protest music again, okay. And we're going to go to an anti-Vietnam song.
Okay.
The Great Fortunate Son song from Creedence Clearwater Revival. It's short, 2 or 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
Super song. So over to you.
Right. Let's get this on. This is your next choice. We're not really counting because we're enjoying the music. So this is Fortunate Son, Creedence Clearwater.
Chrysler.
Tony's choice on Clare Island Cassettes. Song that doesn't pull any punches. That was Creedence Clearwater Revival. Yeah, from back in 1969. Strong song, yeah. Short, sweet, bang, straight into it.
Gritty.
Yeah.
Or gritty sound.
Yeah.
So I chose this one because he's a musician that I'm kind of sad that I've never got to go and see. Okay. And surprisingly, he's still alive and he still tours. He's 80 years old, and I don't think there's too many of the sort of 1960s era musicians still touring for lots of reasons, but he's still going and impressively so, but I think he mainly only plays in America now, so unfortunately I've never got to go and see him, but I've been a huge fan of Creedence, and I don't think you'll find a better rock band out there. They're just an absolute tour de force with the range of songs they have, their sound, the variety, the topics they cover, and the way they've stood the test of time. Just phenomenal. So, I mean, one of my first memories of hearing that song was probably when I saw Forrest Gump when I was a child.
Yes.
And of course, it's used in that when he's, I think they're flying in a helicopter over Vietnam, and. But the reason I chose it is back about 20 years ago, I used to play in a rock band, and we were called Day Release. We used to play lots of... great name, wasn't it?
Oh, brilliant. Release. Brilliant name. Brilliant.
So, yeah, we probably did, I'd guess, somewhere 80, 100 gigs, something like that, over a few years. Around Donegal and around the west of Ireland.
Okay.
And we used to play bands like Creedence and Fleetwood Mac and Jimi Hendrix and the Doors and that kind of stuff. And it was phenomenal crack, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
But that was one of the first ones we learned. And I think I was the driving force behind saying we needed to learn that song because it's particularly easy to play. most of the Creedence songs were, they're not overly complex for young lads who are beginning on guitar, you know.
Okay.
But what you really have to focus on, I suppose, is getting the sound right, and replicating that sound is next to impossible because they were so unique and had such distinct voices and guitars and equipment and so on.
Yes.
But we loved playing that, and we played that, and we played Proud Mary, another great, yeah, great Creedence song as well. And had a lot of fun with those.
I bet. And you were a bassist.
No, I was guitar in that band. Okay. Actually, no, I did both in that band. I started off, I did guitar for a couple of years, and then we had a cabinet reshuffle, and I went on to bass then for a bit.
Good crack, though. Good crack.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. And, I mean, you know, that song is only a couple of minutes long. It's short, and back to referencing Civil War earlier on, you know, that's the longer end of the protest song. This was the shorter end. And Fogarty himself, I think, is still quite a prominent protester and quite active. You know, he's a strong activist and that kind of stuff, the anti-war stuff. So he's an interesting character. But there's a lot of kind of tension and grittiness in that comes through from the anger in his voice.
Yes.
And from the tone in the guitar and just the force of the drums coming in. And then the really high-pitched short solo that comes in is fantastic to complement it all.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, one that you could listen to indefinitely. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but I think you know, it's one that was written quite quickly. There's an urgent kind of sound to it. You know, it starts with a bang and then it's gone. You know, it's before you even know it. Very, very short, very radio friendly, probably back then.
Yeah,
but it's. I think he's supposed to have written that song in an hour or something like that.
Stop.
You know, and you can feel that, and it, you know, it comes in and it's a punch. And you're gone.
It doesn't pull any. It doesn't pull any. No, it's
yeah, and I mean he's pushing his voice in it as well. Like, you know, it must be near the top of his vocal range. You know, there's a kind of a strained sound.
Yeah.
To singing in it, you know, a lot of pressure there. And you often still see it, you know, whether it's on, say, Forrest Gump, where it's got that kind of military montage going on in the background, and you know, it's maybe used in a kind of patriotic sense in some ways, but again, very, very much typical of Creedence. It's all about place and atmosphere and character and all that, you know.
Yeah, there's an edge to it.
Yeah.
Very good.
So,
well, this is an impressive looking suitcase so far.
And can I squeeze one more in?
Of course. I mean, no, there's no quota. You can go for your life. It's entirely up to you. There's no one looking at a watch here or checking clocks or anything like that. So you go wherever you want, Tony, out of mind.
So my next one is People Are Strange by The Doors.
No truer word said.
People are definitely very strange.
Another short one. Just over the 2 minutes.
Yeah, another short one. Exactly, yeah.
Right, let's get it on, so. This is People Are Strange by The Doors. Tony's suitcase is filling up, but there's plenty of room, so don't worry.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange,
when you stray. No one remembers your name when you stray. When you stray, when you're strange. All right, yeah. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange,
how do you think you'll adapt to the strangeness of the isolation of Clare Island?
Maybe I'll have to retitle that song because it'll be the only one on the island, won't I? Person or strange? Person is strange.
How do you think the island existence will go? I mean, you've got a great sound. You've got a great bag of songs there. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I have a good mix to listen to. I think I'll be kept going with that. This is a great song. It's short. It's sweet. But it's one that I chose because I've always been fascinated by a topic called dark tourism, and this is tourism associated with travel to sites which people think of in connection of death and disaster.
Yes,
and Jim Morrison's grave is one of these sites. Jim Morrison, the singer of the Doors, who was buried in Paris in Père Lachaise Cemetery. And his grave has become over the decades a bit of a mecca for Doors fans and people with alternative lifestyles and hippies and stoners and anti-war protests and everybody else. And it's, you know, they come and they maybe leave a tribute or maybe try and smoke a joint or something over it.
Yeah.
But I chose that song because I'm also fascinated with that dark tourism topic, but I'm also fascinated with Bram Stoker, and there's an indirect connection here between Stoker and this song, if you'll bear with me while
I
explain it.
No, belt away, belt away.
So the song People Are Strange, there's a cover version of that used on the film The Lost Boys, which was a cult film about vampires in California. Was starring Kiefer Sutherland and a few other kind of 80s and 90s childhood actors.
Yeah.
It's a great film about vampires, but I was watching it there again recently and I was thinking, do you know, the whole thing about vampires is mostly all rooted back to the popularization of Dracula from Bram Stoker. And Stoker, of course, was Irish.
Yeah.
Has this, I suppose, responsibility for creating this whole thing about vampires, and that film uses that that song as a covered version of it by Eco and the Bunnymen, to great effect for the opening of the film. But there's a lot of humour in the song. But apparently, it was written when Jim Morrison was quite depressed. But it's I suppose, you know, there's different ways to look at the song and different lenses that you can look through at it, but. The Stoker connection amuses me quite a bit because Stoker being responsible for all the vampire industry and all the films and so on that came out after it, I started reading a little bit about him and his life, and he's a very interesting character. And what caught my attention about him was why he came up with the concept of Dracula in the first place. And it was because when he was a child, he had a very unusual illness which left him bedridden. And the only way to deal with unusual childhood illnesses in the 19th century was to bleed you and give you morphine. And doctors were traditionally older men then. So he was most likely lying in bed on morphine, being bled by an older man. So it's not really a question of why did he write Dracula, but how could he not have written Dracula?
Well, when you put it like that.
So he's responsible for this whole... Yeah. He's responsible for this whole vampire industry. He's responsible for a lot of dark tourism himself. People will go and stay in the Dracula castles in Romania, or they'll visit some of the places associated with Stoker in Dublin. But he's responsible for creating this whole industry, which spawned films like, you know, Interview with the Vampire, or the multiple iterations of Dracula, which came out, or films like The Lost Boys, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and so on. A lot of these things wouldn't exist without him.
Yeah.
And I think that song, People Are Strange, encapsulates the kind of the feelings around that sort of genre as well, a little bit, because of the quirky characters in it. And there's a great opening scene in that film where it has that music playing, and it shows some of the oddballs that live in the town, the big hair and the unusual piercings and the vampire teeth and so on that they have. Very entertaining film.
Right, I must go back and watch that again. Yeah, nice.
It's funny. It's aged quite well, actually, for a film that came from, you know, 1987.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was the two Coreys were in it, the two childhood actors, Corey Haim and Corey Feldman, and Kiefer Sutherland was in it as well, of course, and Diane Wiest. So yeah, it was a great cast. The film's a lot of fun, but the soundtrack and that opening scene with use of that song in particular is great. Super way to open a film.
Yeah. It's when they get an opener like that with the music and the setting and the scene right, they really do stick, don't they? They really do stick.
Mm.
No more like you said, like Rogers when you started with the Pavarotti in the 1990, those two things are just inextricably linked forever, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's great when that happens.
We're on to the book, I think, are we?
Yeah, that's an impressive collection of music. I don't think you'll be at a loss out there listening to tunes anyway. So what book are you going to entertain yourself with?
So I think I'll take with me McCarthy Spar. This is a book I know you know well. McCarthy's Bar, written by the great Pete McCarthy back in the late 1990s. And this is a travel book written by an English Irishman who travels around West Cork, up the west coast of Ireland, and interacts with the various quirky characters, unusual places, and an Ireland that's unfortunately been kind of died off a little bit over the last couple of decades. You know, there's I think the closing of rural pubs and the reliance on mobile phones and so on has maybe killed off that Ireland a little bit. But he really captured a time and a place very well, and it's a very, very funny book. So I'd be laughing out loud in the Ireland reading that.
Well, I mean, again, I'd have to. That brings me back. I think you would have recommended that book back in the day, and did you have a signed copy of it? I think you do. Do you? One of us has. Someone has a signed copy.
I do. I bought that to remember. I'm not sure if you'll remember now, but we were sitting in the office and we just read on RTE that he had died. So I went straight on to Amazon and bought a signed copy before people realised. And the signed copy arrived and it said, "Dear Trevor, happy 40th."
Even better.
Yeah. So
brilliant. Yeah. That. Yeah. Again, I'd have to. Yeah. Recommend that book. That's a great book. That's a great book.
A lot of fun in it. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Of fun.
Good choice. Yeah. You could. That's a one to reread and laugh at over and over again. What about a luxury item of no real practical use? What are you thinking?
Well, I'll go back to the opener there, and the first thing I said was that I'm mad into soccer and always have been, so I think I'd bring a football with me.
Okay,
and I could pick it up in the air as wide as a gate. Yeah. And it wouldn't bother anybody.
Yeah. You can be Dave O'Leary, you can be Scalacci, you can be anyone. Pavarotti playing in the background.
You could practice your peckers and your skills.
Yeah.
You could, and Tom Cruise have a volleyball, not Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks, he had a volleyball with him, didn't he, on that Castaway film?
I think he did.
Wilson.
That's right, Wilson.
Little face. So, I could bring an O'Neill's football with me or something.
Yeah. Good, tough, hardy, heavy ball. Yeah. I think it'd survive. Yeah. I think it'd survive.
Maybe use it to knock some coconuts down out of the tree. Yeah. Well, there's no coconuts in Clare Island, of course, but
no,
maybe kick it to the mainland.
Yeah. No, I think it'd be a good thing to have with you. Good thing to have with you. But at least you don't.
I think I'd be like Steve McQueen in The Great Escape in the cooler, you know, just throwing the ball over and back against the wall.
Yeah.
Let's tip it over and back against the tree.
you're on the island, you've been there for a while, you've got your five tracks in the suitcase, you fall asleep, the tide starts to come in. You can only save one. Which one are you most likely to grab?
Oh, I think it would have to be Ness and Dorma.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
There's a nobility to it.
Okay. There is. Yeah. Yeah, it's a song that'll echo through the ages.
A calmness and a nobility, I think it would keep you sane.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a good choice. Well, Tony, fair play. Thanks very much for coming on. I've enjoyed doing that. So, sound.
No, definitely good chat.
Thanks.
And, look forward to listening to further episodes and hearing other stories and music.
Yeah, and if you...
Got plenty of listening inspiration off the other episodes, so...
Exactly, and if you come across any interesting characters on your travels, send them my way. If you think they might have five good tunes and a couple of stories to go with them.
Oh yeah, can recommend one or two, I'm sure.
Yeah, nice one. Sound, Tony.
Good on, Kieran.
All right.
Take care.
You've just listened to an episode of Clare Island Cassettes with me, Kieran, the newest, most original show on Fresh FM. The show is brought to you by TOTM Productions. If you enjoyed it and think you might even enjoy more of them, they can be found on Fresh FM's website. They're also on YouTube and every place else you gorge on your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next time on The Pier at Runa.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.